categorical doctrine is extremely important. And increasingly today in Christianity, we're moving away from categorical doctrine. Some Christians have never actually heard the term categorical doctrine. People know what doctrine is, generally speaking. They think it's kind of like the teaching of a group that's their doctrine. But that's not what categorical doctrine really is. It's not the teaching of a group. Categorical doctrine is the way that the Bible was written. It was written in categories. Now, as a believer, I have to have understanding of categorical doctrine if I'm going to think with God, if I'm going to think correctly. It's impossible for me to think correctly apart from categorical doctrine. Because categorical doctrine is God's word for every topic, every situation, every circumstance in my life. And it is categorical. That's why in our ministry and other ministries, you have, for example, these booklets that are like the doctrine of the cross, the doctrine of redemption, the doctrine of the blood, the doctrine, and we've got hundreds of them. Well, the reason is because the Bible was written in categorical doctrine. The power of the church rests in categorical doctrine. A church that has good, strong categorical doctrine being taught. Now, when I say that, I don't mean necessarily theology. Because doctrine has to have the heart of God mixed into it. It has to be given by the Holy Spirit, because in Matthew 4:4, that's what we live by. And so doctrine is not exactly the same as theology. Theology can be used to establish doctrine. Likewise, a doctrine can be used to establish theology. In other words, a theology can define my doctrine, but it's not categorical doctrine that I can use until it's given to me by the Holy Spirit. So my categorical doctrine, if it's going to be sound doctrine, has to be Spirit-filled. And it comes from a Spirit-filled pulpit to the Spirit-filled preacher. This is what the apostle was talking about when he said, rightly dividing the word of truth. We have to rightly divide the word of truth. That means putting the word of truth into categories of doctrine. When the word of God says that God's people perish for a lack of a vision, without a vision, the word there is also, well, it's, the translation is knowledge, but it's what it's really talking about, if you really look at it carefully, it's talking about categorical doctrine. The Bible is written in categories of doctrine. And this is why you can have so many systematic theology books, because these scholars recognize that this is a categorical doctrine book. Now, here's the importance of categorical doctrine. Categorical doctrine is the church's strength. This is why the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. Because of categorical doctrine. Apart from categorical doctrine, the gates of hell can prevail very easily and often do in those places where categorical doctrine is not present. But we have to learn categorical doctrine. This is one of the reasons why so many of our pastors, we don't necessarily always use the terms categorical doctrine. Pastor Stevens used to use it a lot. I like the term. I think it's very descriptive. But whether we use the term or not, you'll find that a lot of our pastors actually do preach in categorical doctrine. For example, we just had like the doctrine of marriage, right? The doctrine of soul winning. You know, we didn't call it the doctrine of soul winning, but it was really the doctrine of soul winning. Right? And so, you know, a lot of us have been taught to preach in doctrine. Why? Because that's the way the Bible's written. Where there is no categorical doctrine, you're going to have a church that lacks true discipleship. Because if we are to be disciples, we are to be learners in the Word of God. Without discipleship, there's also going to be a passive spirit. There's going to be subjectivity that comes in. And people are going to be kind of left to their emotions. The strength that I have against my emotions responding to the wrong things is categorical doctrine. Knowing how to think with God in specifics for the specifics of my life. That's categorical doctrine. If a person has categorical doctrine, there's really not a whole lot that can move them. Because you won't tolerate categorical doctrine if you don't have a cross. And in 2 Timothy it does say that in this age people will not tolerate sound doctrines. Again, categorical doctrine. People won't tolerate categorical doctrine. And every church that teaches good, strong categorical doctrine, from time to time will have somebody come in who won't tolerate categorical doctrine and then leaves again. We saw that happen ourselves. For example, we had a person come, loved it until they heard that the doctrine of soul winning, and then they left again. Right? And so they won't tolerate categorical doctrine. But categorical doctrine is our strength. Sometimes you can have a situation where people try to replace categorical doctrine with other things. Maybe they'll try to replace it with programs. They might try to replace it with outreach. And those things are good. They're fine. I'm not saying that they're not good. They most definitely have their place. But they'll try to replace at times categorical doctrine with other things. The problem with doing that, although those other things in and of themselves are good things, like for example, we should all be soul winners, but we cannot replace categorical doctrine just with soul winning. We can't say we're a soul winning church, but we're not a categorical doctrine church. No, we're a categorical doctrine church first, and then we're a soul winning church. Because it's the doctrine that teaches to be soul winners. Apart from categorical doctrine, if I have zeal even for soul winning, then it's just a zeal. It's an emotional stir without the constraint of God's mind. But as a believer, I have to live in God's mind, not in an emotional stir. If I try to live in an emotional stir, it won't sustain me. But what you see today sometimes, not in all cases, but just in some cases, what you see today are people in churches getting into various programs, various ministries or what have you, apart from categories of doctrine. And categorical doctrine is not the emphasis of that ministry. Maybe, visitation of some kind is. And that's, visitation is good, don't get me wrong, in its place. But it doesn't precede or remove categorical doctrine. If categorical doctrine is removed from my life, I won't be a disciple. Because I won't know how to think. A disciple is first and foremost a learner. I won't be a learner. If I try as a pastor to replace categorical doctrine with a program, then I will not have a church that is producing disciples. Now, the Great Commission, we think of it as a soul-winning commission, and absolutely soul-winning is a part of the Great Commission. However, the Great Commission was go out into the world and not win souls, but make disciples. Now, Jesus also said, preach the gospel to every creature. And he said that he came to seek and save that which was lost. So we can't say, oh, I've got my word of God, I don't need to soul win. No, you most absolutely do need to soul win. Okay. However, categorical doctrine is first. This is why I've always said, if I have a new person come into our church, they won't be involved in any great extent in ministering, although I would like them involved in other ways, but not in ministering until they've been around for at least a year. Why? Because they need to get rooted in categorical doctrine so that they know how to think. Whenever you have somebody who becomes in the place of a leadership type of a thing, let's say if you have a Sunday school person who has not been rooted in categorical doctrine, then that's not going to be done with the mind of Christ. It's going to be done with a natural disposition. Sometimes you get pastors who try to pastor outside of categorical doctrine but they do it in their natural disposition with their natural mind. The problem with my natural mind is it's not very good. It's corrupt. It's the natural mind. Categorical doctrine is the mind of Christ. It's given in the Word of God. And so, as a ministry, and as individuals also, categorical doctrine must be our priority. Must be our priority. If you lay your life down for categorical doctrine, you won't get bored. I find it interesting sometimes, and I haven't had this happen in a long time, but sometimes you run across people and they'll say, oh, I'm kind of bored here. I'm bored with this. I'm bored. And really, that shows me something more about the person than it does about the place. If I'm bored, then it's because there's something wrong in my heart. Right, if I'm bored with the Word of God, if I'm bored on the cutting edge, if I'm bored at the place where God is moving, if I'm bored in a Word of God revival, then there's something wrong with my heart. Probably a little bit hard. And so, categorical doctrine can help to protect me against that kind of a mentality. That kind of a mentality usually comes from being oriented toward feelings. But categorical doctrine becomes my orientation and feelings take a back seat. Not that I don't have them, but that I have the right feelings and they're submitted properly to the mind of Christ so that they're good feelings. They're healthy that way. And so this whole categorical doctrine thing, people don't take the Word of God very seriously in today's Christianity. I'm not going to ask anyone to raise their hands, but even in this room, how many people actually get the Word of God every day? About an hour at least. If not, why not? Because God says we need it more than we need our daily food. So if not, why not? You see, there's something wrong in me if I'm not getting the Word of God every day. I'm not rightly related to God's mind. I'm not rightly related to what God says is important for me. And I think that I can figure things out on my own and determine for myself what's important for me. Well, the head is sick and the heart is faint. There's no good thing in me. And so trying to figure that out on my own is going to be a real trick without categories of doctrine. But categorical doctrine is really kind of disavowed in much of Christianity today. And it's always given in favor of some kind of acceptability or some kind of feeling, some kind of emotionalism. People get sometimes mad if preachers preach conviction. They get mad at the preacher. Why do you have to preach so much conviction, Pastor? Look at the world. Why wouldn't I? I wish everybody would preach a lot of conviction. You know, but it happens. That happens in a lot of churches that preach good conviction. Somebody comes along and says, Pastor, why do you have to preach so much conviction? Because it's needed. Pastor Stevens once said, you hammer something. If you as a pastor discern something, and this of course has to be in the leading of the Spirit, but if you as a pastor discern something, you may very well be led to hammer it and make people very uncomfortable with it. Especially those people who have a weakness in that. And the reason is because you force people to make decisions. And a person will either decide to get right with God or they'll leave. But one way or another, they're going to have to face things. Now, you have to be led with that. That's not something you do haphazardly. But at the same time, sometimes the Holy Spirit does lead pastors to do that. And I've seen a lot of good preachers really hammer things. And it makes people uncomfortable. Why does it make people uncomfortable? Because it makes them realize that they have a flesh that's no good. And they don't like the notion that their flesh is no good. People like to think, I have a good flesh. No, you don't. You don't, I don't, nobody in this room does, nobody on this planet does. We don't have a good flesh. And so, categories of doctrine are what protects us against this. It is one of the three things that protects us against the enemy in Revelation 12. The word of our testimony is our categorical doctrine. God forbid that we stop preaching categorical doctrine. Because when we stop preaching categorical doctrine, and I don't care how good we can make it sound, but when we stop preaching categorical doctrine, we've stepped away from our purpose. It's the word that sets people free. It's the word that sets people free. Learning how to think in categories of truth. Now, the thing about categorical doctrine is it doesn't put me under bondage. It liberates me from bondage. Why? Because I learned the categories. I learned, for example, the category of redemption, the category of grace, the category of mercy, the category of God's love, the category of God's patience and His long-suffering. I learned the categories. And those categories teach me to think so that I'm incredibly freed. What categorical doctrine is not is law. And we have to understand that categorical doctrine is not law. Categorical doctrine is the mind of Christ in categories. But the mind of Christ is not law. The mind of Christ is the way God thinks. And God thinks in His mind combined with His heart. Not with my heart. He does it with His heart. You say that to a person, they'll follow your heart, right? Oh, that's just rich. Your heart is wicked. People follow their heart. That's why you have the economic problems we have today, because people follow their heart. That's why we have immorality running rampant, because people follow their heart. That's why teenagers are getting pregnant, because people follow their heart. That's why people get abortions, because they follow their heart. So I'm not saying follow your heart. Follow God's heart. Much different heart than our own. But you can only do that again through categories of doctrine. If it's true categorical doctrine, it has to be mixed with the heart of God. Because otherwise it's not the mind of God. It may be the logos, it may be the graphia, but it won't be the rhema. It may be, in other words, the spoken or the written word, but it won't be the Holy Spirit's word to my heart through the logos. The Holy Spirit takes logos and turns it into rhema. In other words, as the Holy Spirit brings the logos to my heart to reveal things for my situation through His heart, it becomes rhema. And that's what happens through categorical doctrine. When the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we don't always think of it this way, but what He's doing is speaking in categorical doctrine. Let's say the Holy Spirit gives you a call. No matter what the call is, He gives you some sort of a call. Well, He's giving you a category for that call. In other words, let's say that He calls you to be a teacher. Then He's going to give you categories of teaching. The doctrine of being a teacher. Let's say He calls you to be a Christian servant of some kind. Let's say a pastor. Then you're going to go into the category of pastor. The doctrine of pastoring. Let's say that He calls you into marriage. Then He's going to bring you into categories in the doctrine of marriage. And so you've got these categories that we live in. And there's a category for everything. What it doesn't do is it doesn't keep us from thinking. What it does do is it teaches how to think correctly. Think in reality and think in truth. I didn't say think in the law. The throne of iniquity works mischief by the law. Psalm 94:20. The strength of sin is in the law in 1 Corinthians 15. So I am not saying think in the law when I'm saying think in categories of doctrine. What I am saying is learn how to have the Holy Spirit illuminate the Word of God to your heart for the specific details of your life. The details come in categories, and so do God's responses. And so we need these categories of doctrine. One of the reasons why we teach categories of doctrine is so that we can learn how to think. Sometimes you'll sit in church and you hear something that doesn't necessarily pertain to you at the moment. And sometimes that bothers people. Well, I heard something today, but it's really not got a whole lot to do with my life right now. That's okay. It will have to do with your life next week. You can bet on it. But what it does is equips us. What it does is it prepares us. What it does is it gives us the mind to think with so that we know how to think when we get there. Have you ever met people who just don't know what to do? And they get very anxious. Now, I'm not saying that I always have to have the answers. I mean, I've come into situations where I'm not sure if I should go this way or that way. But that didn't leave me not knowing what to do. That left me knowing that God hasn't revealed to me which way to go yet. And that I stand still, abide in the calling where I've been called. And so I wait on God, and I know how to wait on God because of categories of doctrine until God reveals to me what His next step is. On the other hand, you have people who know what to do all too well, but it's always out of their natural thinking, according to their personalities or their emotions or their preferences, their natural dispositions. And that's not any good either, because that's simply a corrupt mind knowing its lust pattern and knowing how to tap into that. And that doesn't do me any good either. But categorical doctrine is given not to tell us what to do, but to tell us, to teach us how to think. And this is, as believers, something we have to be careful about. A lot of Christians that I've run into over the years were very concerned with what to do. Fewer were concerned with how to think. Because they think that they can think. They're under the impression that they can think apart from the mind of God. Because they have those biochemical impulses flashing through their brain, right? These bioelectrical impulses and these fibers in my brain where I have these action potentials shooting down at incredibly rapid speeds from one side of the brain to another, and I'm under the impression that that's thought. That's not thought, that's just brain function. Thought doesn't come apart from the mind of God. And here's the problem that some people have, especially in the world, is that they don't have the ability to think, although they may have plenty of brain function. But brain function and the ability to think are not the same thing. Brain function takes my mood, takes my day, takes my emotions, takes what I ate for dinner last night, takes what kind of, you know, how people have treated me recently. Brain function takes all that and tries to think with it. Forget that. It's not going anywhere good. Categorical doctrine gives me the mind of Christ so that I'm not affected by my mood. I'm not affected by the way that people treated me. I'm not affected by my emotions. I'm not affected by what I had for dinner last night. At least not in my head. And so I have to be careful that I think properly. You can tell people who aren't thinking properly because everything affects them. Now, the Word of God says that the person who loves God's law, and the word there is not law, it's Torah. It's not the precepts, it's the Word of God. Okay, there's two types of law in the Old Testament. The precepts, which is more like what we think of as law in the English language. But then there's also the word Torah, which is what we would use as the Word of God in modern language. Well, the person who loves God's Word is not easily moved. Nothing will offend them. Nothing will move them. In other words, that person is not easily moved into anger. That person is not easily moved into discouragement. That person is not easily moved into superficial depression. I want to be careful with that one, because there is a bona fide depression, and there is also a medical depression, where it's a physical ailment rather than just a mood or a circumstance. Now, the person who has categorical doctrine is not a very moody person. The person who has categorical doctrine is a person who generally has an even keel, not on a superficial level. Because a lot of people can have an even keel on a very superficial level, but in their heart they're boiling over. No, I'm talking about a person who on the inside and then out has a very even keel. Nothing moves them, nothing sways them. Why? Because of categorical doctrine. They know how to think. And so all the other things that would influence them are brought into subjection to the mind of God. And when I have everything else in subjection to the mind of God, then doctrine rules the heart. Now, if you mix faith with categorical doctrine, then you're a person who's going to be, number one, filled with the right form of hope. In other words, I don't mean hope as a wishful thought, oh, I wish God would do it, I hope someday He does. No, I mean a person who's filled with confident expectation from God all the time. You're going to be a person who will always look for God's promises. You're going to be a person who will always look for God's provisions and His character, and who will evaluate everything according to God's mind and His character, including their circumstances which don't superficially seem to have anything to do with what's going on. But even those circumstances need God's mind and character. And so categorical doctrine is what builds us as people. There is no such thing as a mature man or a mature woman apart from someone who's filled with categories of doctrine. It doesn't exist. Why? Because what is maturity but growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ? Again, the grace and the categorical doctrine of Christ. And this is what causes us to grow. When we have this categorical doctrine, then we will have the right steps. The trouble is that sometimes we believers try to take steps apart from categorical doctrine. Now, when I say that, I don't preclude God's sovereignty. It's not a law. As a matter of fact, categorical doctrine teaches me how to live in God's sovereignty. Because sometimes I can turn very subjective. But if I have categorical doctrine, that's not too likely to happen. And so a person who's filled with categorical doctrine, God can do some pretty amazing things with them. Because it's not a person who's going to be constrained by society's mores. It's a person who's going to be constrained by the Holy Spirit's mind. And then if God says, go here, they go there. If He says, stay here, they stay there. If God calls Isaiah to do some pretty bizarre things, not a problem. I have the categories of doctrine to deal with that, to know how to think my way through it. If God calls Elijah to do some pretty wild things, not a problem. I have the categories of doctrine so that I know how to think my way through it with the mind of God. The place where you get people who are judgmental is when they lack categories of doctrine, but they don't lack categories of law. And people will demand precepts rather than God's mind. In other words, they try to live by precepts, or they try to enforce precepts in other people's lives. When in truth, it's not the mind of God. It's very often going to be mixed with living by sight or by hearing and things like that. But the Word of God says, be careful what you hear and be careful how you hear. And it also says, we do not walk by sight, we walk by faith. Because categorical doctrine teaches me how to have the right form of faith so that I can live with God, so that I can really have the right form, if you will, of faith adventure with God. Not in a spirit of adventure, but in responding in faith to God as He leads me to where He would have me. The reason why Peter, at the end of his life, could go to where he would not is because categories of doctrine took over when he was matured. And then he knew how to think. So you always live by categorical doctrine. You always live by categorical doctrine. But you also keep in mind that it's not a head thing. I think sometimes when you use the term categories of doctrine, people think head thing, intellect, reason. It's not what it is. It's knowing how to think because you have categories of doctrine from the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit can apply those categories of doctrine to every situation and detail of your life. So it doesn't remove being led by the Spirit. What it really is learning how to speak the Holy Spirit's language so that He can lead you in details and in specifics. We need categories of doctrine. If somebody thinks they don't need categories of doctrine, it's only because they are demonically deceived. Because that is who's telling people that they don't need doctrine. And that's also why in the latter times, 2 Timothy says, people will not endure sound doctrine, but they'll heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears. Why? So they can follow their lust patterns. Simple. Categorical doctrine is everything. If some of you guys ever become preachers, I don't know if you will or not, but if some of you guys are ever preachers, make sure you're preaching categorical doctrine. Because if you're not preaching the Word of God.